Blog Talk Radio.
Head to Macy's backstage for finds you won't believe and prices so low you can't resist. So what's hot for cold weather? Well, faux is fabulous. Find faux vests and jackets starting at $39.99. Those must-have faux trim bags you love, they start at $29.99. And guys, we've got the fleece and flannel you'll live in all season starting at $19.99. We're all about keeping the whole family warm. You never know what you'll find, but you'll always find something. For info and location, visit macysbackstage.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so excited again to be in the land of the living. It's just such a blessed time to just be available for God to use me in a beautiful way to bless those who listen to this program week after week after week. We are going through a wonderful series in the book of Hebrews, and of course we're in calling this series Hebrews 101, and today is series 3. And my guest host tonight, as we know him as Pastor Michael Crowe, will be with us, and he will continue to propel us forward through the pages of this wonderful book of Hebrews, and we will be focusing our attention in some beautiful chapters in this book. We're going to be looking at chapters 8, 9, 10, and we'll be doing a lot of moving around. So I hope you're ready, you're kind of hungry for the Word of God so that you can continue to grow and go. Now, we will be looking at the high priest in this particular series we've been focusing on. Of course, Jesus is our high priest who is at the right hand of the throne of the majesty above. And that sanctuary is not made by hands of man. Jesus is a better covenant than the other priests, established on better promises, since he promised himself to bear our sins on the cross. This better covenant, God will deal with the hearts of men and women, and they will know him and the mercy of God. So Pastor Crowe and I will usher you through the pages and just know that we will be looking at a better covenant, better promises, and a better sacrifice. So pull your Bibles out, tablets, and walk through these pages with us and get your paper, your pencils ready, and be ready to take notes because this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful ride. Pastor Crowe, thank you again for being with me as we continue to move forward. And I just believe this is what God wants from his children, that we continue to grow in grace. Do you agree?
Well, yes, ma'am. Thank you once again, Sister Smith, and we bring greetings once again from the Bar Memorial Missionary Baptist Church out in the Midtown area of the city. And once again, we want to thank God for using you through this technological age to spread his word around the world. And we want to thank God for your steadfastness. And I pray to God tonight that Holy Spirit will be the preacher, the teacher. And I pray to God tonight that someone in your listening audience, through the teaching of the gospel, will come to know who he is. And we want to just thank you for this opportunity. We want to tell you just keep on letting the Holy Spirit use you in the closing days of grace.
So,
as we prepare for our lesson tonight, we left off with the priesthood of Christ. But if we back up again, keep in mind this unknown offer. We keep in mind the audience that he's dealing with. When we study this, we see where these Hebrew Jews, because they heard the word, received the word, because they accepted the word, they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But in accepting Christ as their personal Savior, they became harassed. They became abused, became misused. And things got so bad because of their switch from Judaism to Christianity until they were ready to turn around and go back to Judaism. And all Arthur is doing right now is trying to encourage them not to make the same mistakes that their forefathers made when they made it all the way to Canaan, but because of unbelief, they didn't make it easy. So tonight as we travel, one of the things that is good to know about this passage of scriptures in this book is that you get a real, if you really let the Holy Spirit teach you this book, you get a beautiful comparison between Judaism and Christianity. Now, of course, this is according to the Word of God. Now, I know there are some different views, but we're dealing with the views tonight that I hold true about the Word of God according to the Scripture. So let's move a little further. Now, tonight we left the priesthood. We understand that there's no better priesthood than the priesthood of Christ. But also in Hebrews chapter 8, and we find that he was trying to relate to them. Don't turn around because the covenant that you have with Christ better than the covenant of your forefathers. Now, let me just throw this in. God never makes a mistake. And God never does anything wrong. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows all. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He doesn't make mistakes, but what he does do is make things better. This is the argument. Now, if we just took a brief glimpse and go back, you go back to first mention, there's a word that I want to bring to the audience, and this is a, those of us that are dispensationalists, I have a Scofield Bible, and Scofield is a dispensationalist, and I take to the views of a dispensationalist. All dispensation means is a period of time when God dealt with his period of time, when God dealt with his people. Let me give you an example. When we talk about, number one, the dispensation of innocence, when you get a chance, you need to read Genesis 1 and 28. It deals with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the period of time before the fall. The whole other story, maybe one of these days, Sister Smith invite us back and we can go, but the dispensation of innocence before the fall of man, Genesis 1 and 28. Then we see how God dealt dispensation of conscience after the fall. Now, you got to read Genesis 3 and 23. It deals with their expulsion from the garden because of the fall of man when they became conscious. And we call that the dispensation of conscience. Then we have the dispensation of human government. You have to go to Genesis 8, and you start at that 8th chapter, and if you read from that 20th on down, you'll see how after the flood, you read about the Tower of Babel, where men tried to govern themselves, the dispensation of human government. Not only that, if you read Genesis 12, 1 and 2, we deal with the dispensation of promise. God made a promise to Abraham, and God dealt with that promise. Are you with me? Now, Smith, just make sure everybody is in line with us. I want you to read, we're on the dispensation of promise. Let's just read Genesis 12, 1 and 2. And let's see what the scripture says.
Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And it reads this way. Now Jehovah said to Abraham, go from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Lord, now, and that's where we get into how God dealt with them during this period of time. We call it the dispensation of promise. Then we come to the dispensation of law. That's in Exodus chapter 19. If you read that, that'll kind of give us an example. I mean, you start with the 20th verse. I mean, chapter 20, verse 1. The dispensation of law. We've dealt with the dispensation of innocence. We've dealt with the dispensation of conscience. We've dealt with the dispensation of human government. We've dealt with the dispensation of promise. Take a glimpse at the dispensation of law. Exodus 20th chapter. It started that first verse.
And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the slave house. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself for yourself an idol, nor the form of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water beneath the earth. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them, and you shall not serve them. For I, Jehovah, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, yet showing loving kindness to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
All right. Now, that's how God dealt with them during the dispensation of the law. Now we're moving a little closer to where we want to be. Because after the dispensation of law came the dispensation of grace. We know through the history of Israel, even though they meant well, they could not keep the law. many scholars' view is that the reason that they could not keep the law is that it came from the mind of God. And because of a fallen man who sinned in the dispensation of conscience, he wanted to be righteous. He wanted to keep the commandments. He wanted to keep ceremonies. He wanted to keep the ordinance. But the flesh wouldn't let him do it. Instead of being righteous, he became self-righteous. But now, thank be to God, and we're getting to the point where we just then came the dispensation of grace. Now, that's something to shout about to your audience. And that, a lot of people don't know that it's two graces that got us to where we are. First grace was the dispensation of law. Even though Adam failed, God, through his commandments, if they followed them correctly, if they did them, the sacrifices and all of the requirements, guess what? He would talk. He would reconcile them. But in the end, when we find out that they couldn't do it, God said, wait a minute. I got a better way. Not that there was something wrong with the dispensation of law, as I stated earlier, because God don't make mistakes. God don't do things wrong. He just do things better. And that's when he came with the second work of grace, and he was right now in the dispensation of grace. Let me get a scripture here, because I know somebody don't believe me. Started John 1 and 17.
John 1 and 17.
Uh-huh.
All right, Pastor Crow. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Oh, I got to stop right there. The law was given to the people from God through Moses. And we learned the other day when we studied this that Moses was a great leader, but he wasn't the greatest leader. We found out that Moses had glory, but his glory did not shine Jesus' glory. We found out that Moses was a servant of the house, but we found out that Jesus was the son of the house. And God, after they could not do it, said, I got a better way. And there go that word better again, and that's the theme of Hebrews. He said, time, I'm going to send my son to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Can I just use an expression that the elder preachers use all the time? The other preachers, when they explain this verse, they say he looked over the balconies of heaven and saw we needed a redeemer. And no man in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to redeem us. The senior preachers say divinity and embodied it in humanity. And condescended through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he came down and did it for us. Somebody said it was grace walking on 2 feet. And he came down and satisfied the Father because he never sinned. Now, I'm talking about the dispensation of grace. And because he did that, those of us who believe that he is King of Kings, he is Lord of God, he is our Redeemer, because you believe it, you could be saved. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I got to stop right here. That might be somebody in this in the radio land that don't know him. And right now he's presenting the opportunity for you to know who he is. He's giving you a chance. He came down. Wait a minute. Let me. And that's what it did with the dispensation of kingdom. Now read 1 and 10. Read 1 and 10. Ephesians 1 and 10.
Ephesians 1 and 10. To be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the
mm-hmm.
praise of his glory. That's verse 14.
Uh-huh. Come on, because there's a golden nugget in that that I want them to see. Keep going.
Verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better.
Here we have, after the dispensation of grace, Christ came. And in this particular situation, he's speaking to those Jewish Christians. Once we accept Christ, he's dealing with our position in Christ. If we accept him, we are a part of his kingdom. Every king has a kingdom. And I'm not ashamed to say that Christ is my king. Now, if I had time, I could elaborate on that a little more, because he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, he's Abraham's seed, he's Isaac's substitute. I got some Bible studies, some Bible reads here. He's Ezekiel wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's bread to the hungry. He's living water to the thirsty, to those that are a part of his kingdom. And our thought tonight is to compel men, women, boys and girls to be a part of his kingdom and to see how he deals with us. That's enough of that, because that's a whole other lesson. Maybe one day Sister Smith will let me come back. But let's deal with the covenants. We know that in Genesis 3 and 15, we deal with the, let's go to Genesis 2 and 8 through 17. We deal with the Edict covenant during the dispensation of Enoch. Our God made a covenant with Eve before the fall. Now, I don't know how much time I've got. I don't want to run out of time because I'm almost getting to where I want to get to. Read Genesis 2, 8 through 17 right quick, Sister Smith, and we're not going to linger long on it. Come on.
All right, Genesis chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And which verse?
8 through 17.
All right. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. Verse 12, the gold of that land is good. Aromatic, resin, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates.
Now, what I'm trying to show is, after God established, this is before the fall, mm-hmm. after God established this covenant with Adam and Eve before the fall, his word to them was be fruitful and multiply. That's what dealt with the Eden covenant. Now, let's look at the Adam covenant. This is where I was trying to get to do. Genesis 3 and 15.
3 and 15?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
Now, this is after the fall. This is after they got in trouble and what? Sin. And God dealt with them in the Adamic covenant. Then you have the Noahic covenant. Get Genesis 9 and 1. Genesis 9 and 1.
Genesis 9 and 1.
Uh-huh.
All right. 1 second. Give me a moment.
He had a covenant in Eden before they seen. And then he made a covenant after they had seen. Now, if I really had time, we'd talk about the seed and bruising the serpent's head and the serpent's bruising his heel, because we're talking about Jesus right there. But we're not going to go into that right now. That's another little Noahic covenant, 9 and 1.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
Now we have the covenant after the flood. You do know that man got so terrible. God, the Bible says, was mad with himself because he created. And you know the story, the flood. He dealt. Because he found favor in Noah, he made a covenant with Noah and his family. He said, what? Be fruitful and multiply. That's the Noahic covenant. Now, we're getting to where we want to be now. Let's look at the Abraham covenant. Abraham covenant, Genesis 15 and 8. Genesis 15 and 8.
Genesis 15?
And 18.
And 18, okay. And it reads this way. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates.
Covenant that he made. Now, there's a lot of tension in that area right now. Many people have different views as to legitimize it, but the word of God says that he gave, promised Abraham that he was going to give them this portion of land, which we know as the promised land. We're moving to where we want to be now. Now, let's look at the Mosaic covenant. Exodus 19:25.
And you shall make a frame of a hand breadth around it, and you shall make a rim of gold for its frame around it. Exodus 19, verse 25, correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So Moses went down to the people and told them, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the slave house. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, nor the form of anything that is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water beneath the earth.
Now, again, he establishes this covenant, this Ten Commandments. Now, let's see, Kevin Stephanie, we're almost to where we want to be. We're almost back to the lesson. Now, remember, the author is dealing with Hebrew Jews that have turned to Christianity. And they are very well abreast to all of the covenants because they so far have taught them. These scriptures in Hebrew, the author is telling them that all of that what God did was good. But he said, I got a better way. Now let's look at one more covenant, and we'll be the way we want. The David covenant. Now that's in 2 Samuel 7:16. What does that say?
All right. 2 Samuel 7, chapter 7, verse 16.
Uh-huh.
And your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever.
Now, that was the David covenant. And oh, what a covenant that was. David was known as the greatest king of Israel. And God covenant. Now here we are. We back to where we started at. We back to the new covenant, the better covenant. All those covenants that God made with his people during that time were great covenants. Nothing was wrong. But God saw a better way. Now watch this here. Now we're back to where we started. Now we're back in Hebrew. We're back in Hebrew, chapter 8, verse 6. And here's two things that the author is trying to get the Jewish Christians to believe. Come on, start at 8 and 6. They say, you have a better covenant and you have a better promise. I know what your forefathers taught you. I know what you learned coming up. But I want to let you know, don't turn around because you're having a problem on this journey. Because you're going back to something that's not better than what you had. And that's the lesson to all of us today. There is none better in Jesus Christ. So he starts here with the what? Start at 8 and 6. We where we want to be at now.
But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry in as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been...
Wait a minute now. We got a better covenant because we have a better mediator. Last time God dealt with Abraham, he dealt with Noah. He said, but now, since Christ came, since Christ died for our sins, we have a better covenant because we have a better mediator. You have to go back to Job and think about Job was wanting to talk with God, but he couldn't find God. And Job, even back then, said, now I know that there ought to be a mediator. There ought to be somebody between us and God. Well, you in the radio audience, man, Christ came to be our mediator of the covenant, our intercessor. That's a privilege that Abraham didn't have, even though it all led up to it. That's a privilege Moses didn't have. But to you that are listening in the radio audience, this covenant is better because we have a better mediator. Come on, keep reading.
Which has been enacted upon better promises. That's verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and I will consummate a new covenant upon the house of Israel and upon the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the days when I took them from the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord.
Hold it right there. See, this covenant, this promise is way better than the promise that I made to Abraham. Because this promise deals with eternal life. This promise deals with the grace of God. He said, those that accept my son shall be saved. And I got a promise. Like, come on, keep reading. We're almost finished now. Come on.
For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming. That's verse 8. I'm going to jump down to verse 9.
Okay.
Not according to the covenant which I made with their forefathers in the day when I took them by their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the new covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will impart my laws into their mind and on their heart. I will inscribe them, and I will be God to them, and they will be a people to me.
Now, when we see that, we see the work of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was upon man. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is in me. He said, I'm going to put it in their hearts this time. I'm not going to write it on no brick. I'm going to put it in their heart. And when my son died and come back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to work in their mind. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. Now, we also call that what? A better sacrifice. Go on down to that 23rd verse in that 9th chapter, Sister Vince.
9th chapter, verse 23.
Uh-huh.
It was necessary, therefore, for the examples of the things in the heavens to be purified by thee, but the heavenly things themselves by better sacrifices than thee. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made by hands, a figure of the true, but into heaven itself to appear now before the face of God for us, nor in order that he might offer himself often, just as the high priest enters into the Holy of Holies year by year by the blood of other creatures. Since then, he would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested for the putting away of sin through the sacrifice of himself.
Hold it right there. Man, I'm so thankful that when we worship God right now, and I tell them this on Sundays at Barbara Moore, I'm so glad that when I come to church, I don't have to drag a goat in. I don't have to catch a pigeon. I don't have to get a sheep. Christ is our sacrifice. And they had to do it, I'm talking about Israel, numerous times, periodically. But we don't have to do that no more. Because we under the dispensation of grace, because we under the dispensation of King, Christ died once and for all. He's prophet, priest, and king. And true worship, and we stated this before on this program, in order to have a true worship, number one, you have to have an altar. In order to have a true worship, number two, you have to have a sacrifice. And then, number three, in order to have a true worship, you got to have a priest. And let me tell you something. Jesus is prophet, priest, king, and a doctor term, he is our propitiator, which means he died for our sins. And this author is trying to tell these Hebrew Jews, turn around. You're going to have to go back to the old way when Christ got a better way. When Christ died, the veil in the temple was rent. I don't need no priest to speak for me now because I got a high priest in heaven. I got a propitiator that died for my sin. I don't have to drag no animal to get his blood because the blood of Jesus Christ is all the blood I need. And he died once and for all. Let me get ready to close because next week I will deal with faith. But now watch this here. Because we have a better sacrifice. Now we can have a better resurrection. Wait a minute. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Read Hebrew 11 and 35. We'll be getting ready to wrap this up. Hebrew 11 and 35.
Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured by death, not accepting deliverance, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others underwent the trial of mockings and scourgings, even moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they died by the murder of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, in goatskin, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains and in caves and holes of the earth. And this all, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, did not obtain the promise. Because God has provided, because God has provided something better for us,
better.
So that apart from us, they would not be made.
And wait a minute. And let me tell you what it means better. Since his son came, since his son died on the cross for our sins, and on the third day morning he got up with all power in his hand, because he died and got up, we're going to get up. There's no better resurrection. And what kind of story, what kind of history would this be if he had not got up? He died for our sins, and he rose on Thursday morning. Oftentimes when I'm preaching, those 3 days that he was in the grave, it affected the three worlds at the same time. In heaven, angels tiptoed because Jesus was dead. They hung on their pinion with their head down because Jesus was dead. On earth, you read over in Matthew, say graves open up. Men smote at their breast. The earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man because Jesus, through the crucifixion, had died. And in hell, they had a party. The grave was bragging that he held Jesus like he held everybody else. Death was bragging because he said he stung Jesus like he stung everybody. Demons and earth had a party. But wait a minute. Something happened on the third day morning. Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Where Adam fell, Jesus succeeded. And since Jesus succeeded, we have a better priesthood. We have a better covenant. We have a better promise. We have a better sacrifice. I didn't even take you to Hebrews 10:34. We have a better possession. I didn't take you to Hebrews 11:16. We got a better country. But we also have a better revelation. And as I close, there might be somebody. You tried it all. But I want to let you know tonight that there is none better than, because he died, he got up for our sins. Guess what? We can get up. And that's all the author was trying to get these people to see. And I want to thank you tonight, Sister Smith, for allowing us to have this opportunity. And maybe we could look at the results of the resurrection, because we see what? Faith. There's a good example of it. They call it the hero of faith. But thank you so much, Sister Smith, and I'm so glad we got a better conversation. Because we could talk about Jesus Christ that died for our sins on Calvary. There might be somebody that don't know him. I pray you get to know him, because there's a better way for your life.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, the more that we journey together hand in hand, page by page, word by word, verse by verse, it just delights the soul of our growth spurt that we need to become mature Christians that are no longer drinking milk but are eating on meat of the word. And this is with what the writer wanted these Christians to move toward, to grow into. We don't want to stay in training pants all of our lives. We've got to put on clothes that fit, because the body is going to grow. And this is the same thing for our spiritual soul, our spirit man, to continue to grow in grace and eat of the very word of God. Pastor Carl, again, just thank you, and I thank God for you to continue to bring this richness of his word for saints to continue to feed from his table. And it's just a delight to continue to come to an understanding and gain a little bit more wisdom concerning God's character, his love, and his grace through his son, Jesus. So, yes, it is better for us to grab a hold of this thing called salvation, who is Jesus Christ, that you not be left behind or be without, that you can grab a hold to what is better concerning Jesus Christ himself. And I'm just forever grateful to continue to walk with you and showing me as well as others this richness from Genesis all the way to a better resurrection, as you said. And as we look at next week concerning the beautiful book of Hebrew chapter 11, and they call that the faith chapter, correct, Pastor Crump?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, I want to pause right here and just take a moment, prayer of salvation, because that's what Mission from the Heart is about, is extending the hand or the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him and to those who hunger for something better. And, of course, that is Jesus Christ. So for you that are listening, I just pray that you receive him as your Lord and Savior. And we would like to pray for you and to receive that better salvation for your soul, for your eternity, and that you would have what you need to have eternal life. So if you would bow your heads, and brothers and sisters, pray with me for those that you know or those who are listening. Touch and agree with me for them to receive salvation in the pardoning of their sins, that they would come to know him. And let's pray right now. Pastor Crow, do you want to lead the prayer?
No problem. No problem. Let our ears bowed, our eyes closed, and our hearts lifted. Our Father in heaven, we come now just thanking you, number one, for your word. Where would we be without your word? It's so comforting to us. Thank you. And then we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for, on the second work of grace, getting in our mind. Prayer today is that we let the Holy Spirit control our mind. You can be our God. We can be your children. Thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And then we thank you for Jesus Christ. Better preach, better sacrifice, better promise, better resurrection. We thank you. Now there might be someone in this listening audience that the Holy Spirit has prick your soul. You want to come to know who he is. You wasn't aware that life can be better than what it is right now. And through the teaching and preaching of the Holy Spirit has come into your heart. And you want to establish a relationship with him. You don't want just knowing. You want to establish a relationship. You believe it in your heart, and you can confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you accept him, when you believe it in your heart, when you confess it with your mouth, the Bible says, can inherit eternal life. Right now, somebody in the listening audience, you want to come to know who he is. You want the better side of life. And I pray that you open up your heart, open up your understanding, and let him come in. If you do that, you can find out. We thank you. There might be somebody. I don't know, but there might be just somebody through hearing the gospel. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is your opportunity. You can ask the Lord to save your soul. Thank you. And we pray that you'll find a Bible-believing church. Pray that you will hear the word of God. Pray that you walk down the aisle, give your hand to the preacher, your heart to God. We pray that you be baptized in the name of Jesus. Pray that God will be done in your life. Pray that you find a place. He's on his way back. This is your opportunity. Thank you now. Thank you for this broadcast to go out all over the world. I don't know who's listening, but the Holy Spirit knows who's listening. And he found time to remind us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God, and he loves you. And when you love him back, I tell you, he will do good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in your life. When you come to know him, he already knows you, but he wants you to know him better. He's waiting for us to run to his arms. He's a loving God. Amen. Well, this
Amen.
Does bring us another program ending in a wonderful lesson with Pastor Crow and myself concerning Hebrews 101. And it's been a delight. Some of the words that we've heard, dispensation and better, understanding it in the context of the word, and just knowing that Jesus is better, the theme for our message. This is our series. This is series number 3. So we will move forward on next week with series number 4, and we will be looking in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning the faith chapter. And that is just a delight in itself to know those that the writer of this book, God taking the time about those men and women of faith, something for us to get in our spirit, learn to live by faith, walk by faith. So always remember that the grass withers, the flowers faded away, but the word of God remains forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us this week. Thank you again, Pastor Crow, and we will meet again. Lord, say the same. And God bless you, and continue to keep your eyes on the Lord, your heart in tune with his, and just love on him every day of your life. This has been Mission for the Heart radio broadcast. And I just want to say God bless you and have a good night and a blessed week. Good night.
Good night.
Mike has fobbed the fear of missing McRib, so he cleared his calendar.
Yo, dude, backstage passes? Nah. Hey, babe, this weekend? Can't do it. What up? That sounds great, but count me out.
Do what you gotta do. Just don't miss the return of the sandwich, the myth, the legend, the McRib. Come into McDonald's today and get a delicious, saucy McRib sandwich, made even better with the one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper, the one you crave. at participating McDonald's for a limited time.